Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, friends. My name is Stephen Lewis, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Troy Griffin will arrive to discuss his use of spiritual mediumship to help others in their quest to find the self. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Greetings, Lauren. How are you doing this evening?
I am doing super. I'm very excited about your guest and what he's going to be talking about.
Awesome. Me too. We're going to have him out here in a little bit. But before we do, would you mind sharing with us what your psychic specialties are?
I am a psychic medium and I'm very empathic. So any time I talk to anyone, I can connect to their feelings and see, hear, feel what they're going through, where they've been, different paths in front of them. I do angel readings, so can channel spirit. So lots of fun, and I always love talking to people on Psychic Access.
Lovely, lovely. Well, we are glad that you could join us tonight. Thank you for being here. And everyone, you can find Lauren at PsychicAccess.com. Also, we have Dr. Nona Marie Foyer. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing just spectacular. Thank you for asking. I'm great to be here and looking forward to your guest. It's going to be a really interesting topic.
Yes, it is. I can't wait to get into that. But before we do, would you mind sharing with everyone your specialties over at PsychicAccess.com?
I would love to do that. I do predictive life path readings, looking at the trail that you picked before you came here to Earth. Also, I'm a pet psychic and can talk to spirits from the other side, and love working at Psychic Access with all the talented people there.
We love having you, Dr. Nona Marie. We're very fortunate to have you on the team and very glad that you could join us tonight, as always. Can't wait to get your insightful banter after the show. Everyone, you can find Dr. Nona Marie at PsychicAccess.com. Last, definitely not least, we have another psychic medium, Steve Frampton, also one of PsychicAccess.com's finest. How are you this evening, Steve? Hello, Steve. I think we might be having a bit of a technical issue.
Can you hear me, Stephen?
Yes, sir. Sure can.
Sorry, I bought this all singing, all dancing mic, but it's complicated. I'm doing very well, thank you.
Beautiful. Well, you know, we're spiritualists and not technologists. It's quite okay. But would you mind sharing a little bit about yourself and what you do at PsychicAccess.com, Steve? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll come back and get with you during the banter, actually. We'll try to smooth out some of those issues. But I would like to make a couple of comments about psychic medium Troy Griffin. He is in the Denver area, very acclaimed, a professional intuitive medium, clairvoyant, and empaths. And not ashamed to admit that God has bestowed these gifts upon him. And he's regarded very well internationally, working with people throughout the world who are in need of answers, who are searching for answers, who are trying to move forward with their lives, and most importantly, trying to get closure, the big C word, closure, with past loved ones, relationships, what have you. Troy, who is an extremely motivating sort of personality, also coaches clients for personal reasons, business reasons, spiritual reasons. And we're very happy to have him here tonight, this spiritualist and psychic medium with over 20 years experience. Troy, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm so glad that you are doing good. Glad you're here with us. I'm doing fine as well. Before we get started, though, I want to congratulate you because you have been nominated for an award in your area and you're getting some recognition. Could you tell us a little bit about that? I think it's important.
Sure. I was acknowledged and awarded the best psychic in my Broomfield area in Colorado here. Another award or mention that I have is through thumbtack.com, which is a referral system on the internet, as being the top 1% of professionals in my industry. So I'm glad to get those acknowledgments, and it's nice.
Yeah, well, definitely well deserved. Your work is important, and you know, even though the topic of our show tonight is self-seeking, finding the self, and improving life through the use of spirit guides and the spirit world, you also do a lot of work for missing persons and other sorts of law enforcement applications. Would you mind telling us briefly a little bit about that?
Sure. What I do is, as a medium and clairvoyant, I work with agencies, families, and even victims that come through of missing person, unsolved murders, and violent crimes. Depending on the case, I do some of them independently, or I also have a meetup group called North American Psychic Investigations. And when we get the requests, we look at them, and it's really, if I can connect with the case, then I'll take the case on. What we do is our primary goal is to find answers, clues, and even assist the families with closure. So when we get a case, we everyone's a little bit different, and it's a matter of just taking time to see if I can get to the case. I can fill the case. If not, then I bring it to the investigative group to see if they can do it on a whole, so that makes it a team project. What I do with the missing persons is I don't ask for too much information from the people that contact me, the clients. It's better that way, that I don't have the information. And what I can do is I usually see through the eyes of the victim or the person that's missing. And I see pictures, places, or things. I take that information and, you know, out of state and around, even in Europe, I will then go to, you know, Google Maps or Maps and look for landmarks that I see, things that I can connect with. Unsolved murders, it's the same thing. I usually see through the victim's eyes, people around them. Other violent crimes that I deal with is sexual predators. I do teach a class on different personality types, sexual predators, you know, characteristics of criminal minds. And so every case is a little bit different. Some of them are a bit more challenging than others. And some of the cases, the victims don't want to be found. There's something that that they may have caused for their murder or what happened. And so sometimes they won't connect. And that's the hardest part, to let the families know that, you know, I'm not able to help. But you've got to be honest, and I don't give false hope. And so that's what we do as far as the unsolved murders and violent crimes.
You know, I bring it up because as an example of the extreme form of getting lost, finding yourself in a situation where you're a victim, most of us, thank goodness, never make it to that level. So my question now is, changing tack, do you use the same method if I've gone astray in my life, perhaps in my job or in my relationship? Do you see through my eyes, as it were, and can sort of come back and tell me perhaps what's holding me back on issues, or how does that work?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's similar. It's a little bit different. I do, when I meet with my clients that you know, we all have walls and barriers that we've built up, and it's the same for people that have passed. So, you know, I don't necessarily in person, my people see through your eyes, but what I'm able to pick up is things that only you or you and somebody else knows about. So I'm looking into you that I pick up things that nobody really knows, or I would have no idea of knowing. And what that allows me to do is once I capture that, my clients release their wall. And really what it comes down to is when I know something or can tell you something and I break through, the walls come down because you know that, yeah, you can still hide things from me, but I'm able to go in and find things if they're comfortable or uncomfortable. And that really breaks down your wall. It's when somebody comes in and knows something about you that nobody does. We really don't have a choice but to put down that wall and let them in. Also, by what I do by looking in is I build the trust. I build the trust with people I communicate on the other side as well as people that's here on the real world. It's about building trust, and by coming in and be able to see through their eyes or know something here on the earth, it allows me to start building that trust. And that's how I start to help my clients or the victims.
Yes, I think that would be important to establish that rapport. So this is a situation I would imagine that would probably take some time. Does it vary from person to person, the time required to build this trust?
You know, it really doesn't vary from person to person. It's once I can break that barrier, it's open. Because the things that I connect with are usually so personal. An example, and it can be the simplest thing that people listening will be like, really? So an example is I had a gal that came into my office, and it was her husband who's passed, and it's been about a year and a half, and she's still angry, upset, and hasn't really been moving on with her life. And so here I am, a complete stranger brought in by her sister-in-law to try to help her. And the way that I broke through her was this simple. I said to her, "Why don't you make your salsa anymore?" And that was so powerful to her, because every football game that was his favorite thing was the salsa that she made.
Oh, wow.
And it was so personal to her, and she hasn't made it since his passing. But because I knew that, it broke her down, which some people will look at me and go, well, that's not good. But it is good, because once I connect and get you to that point, I can start helping you. And I can help you move forward, or I can help you with closure. So the trust immediately comes from, I know this, and it's okay. It's okay that I know this. And now let's move forward. So it comes to me rather quickly. I do have the ones that still try to keep up the wall. And again, it's me pulling something else out of them. Mm-hmm. And it really comes down to, when somebody knows something about you internally that really nobody knows, it's kind of hard to keep your wall up anymore. And,
yeah.
You know, and that's where the trust comes. And it's just a communication with them. It's just a conversation.
That's fascinating. And I imagine it's a beautiful moment, one where you establish almost like a bond with the person who's seeking your help. My question now is, how long, when did you become aware that you had this gift, for one thing? And then the second part of the question is, you know, why can't most of us be aware of this for ourselves? I'm curious about that as well.
Sure. Well, for me personally, I realized that I had a gift when I went to sixth grade camp, actually. I grew up on an island in the Pacific Northwest, and I went to a sixth grade camp on an island called Orcas Island outside of Washington. And I found it to be very spiritual. It could be the fog, it could be the way, the moisture, the air, the smell. But when I went to sixth grade camp, I just knew I was different. And I knew that I could see things that happened. Not the normal deja vu, which we all have once in a while, but I could actually know that this is going to happen to this, or it almost was like my own deja vu that I've been here. So when I went to sixth grade camp, it was just very mystical island for me. I had read that there's monks up there, very spiritual monks, so very spiritually I connected. The reason that a lot of people don't connect is that we don't trust our own instincts, our own intuition. We question ourselves. The other thing that most people are going through comes down to their religious beliefs, and they don't allow it in. You know, with the word psychic or the word medium, according to the Bible, that's not a good thing. And so people don't look at themselves or really trust themselves, because the way that we're brought up and our religious beliefs and brought up, you're not supposed to be able to do that. So people block it. We all have intuition, and intuition has all been through all of us. We've had experiences where we've used our intuition, but we question it so much, and we don't allow it to come through because either we're scared, we may think it goes more on the dark side, the evil side, satanic side, and it's really from our upbringing or our religious beliefs, and mm-hmm. so we squash it.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, Troy. I'm curious because you are multi-talented. You have several gifts, and please correct me if I'm mistaken here, but it seems as if speaking to those who have already passed or speaking to entities in the spirit world is one of those gifts. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I'm curious about what it's like to communicate with these beings.
Sure. Now, when people say communicate or channel to the dead, for me, I feel like it's a little bit different because I don't call on or summon spirits. When I have a connection, I, again, see people, places, and things. So, for instance, I may feel your grandmother that's passed, and I'm able to tell you mannerisms, things that she did or you did, things that she's made that you have. Things along those lines. I can get a general idea of body type. So I don't really have these real conversations per se where we're actually communicating. It's a matter of when they come through, if they have something to say to me, it just comes as a thought or a picture or a place.
Ah, okay.
Another example is I had a gal in that her brother passed away. And when they come in, I usually know if it's health, accident, overdose, and I can open up that way. And then in order to know that I'm really have their brother here or who I'm with, for this gal example, I was able to say, where's the picture with you and your brother with the blue sports car behind you? Mm. And then that allowed, and then it comes into questions. This particular client was, her brother was religious and wore a cross around his neck, and his question for her was, why do you have that cross put away? Mm. So those are the things that I get. So I don't necessarily see blonde hair, blue eyes. I can see mannerisms, husky. I can see their mannerisms, sometimes the way that they speak. And a lot of times in my readings with my clients, I will say something that is exactly what their loved ones would say it in the same manner, the same tone.
Right.
So that's what I see.
Well, I do want to ask you this quick question as well, Troy, because I think a lot of the ways that we can get lost in life is through the area of vocation. Do you have a lot of clients who come to you seeking clarity in for their careers? You know, what am I supposed to be doing? A and B. You know, what's your procedure for helping those people find their niche, their particular corner in the world, and what they're supposed to be doing?
Sure, I absolutely do, and I also do life coaching, and so it's kind of a really mixed there, fine line. Is that when people come in, it's really again seeing from within them and really seeing what I feel like is their calling or their passion. And then it's a matter of tuning into that and building the trust level again. And so once I have that trust level and we discuss really what their passion is or what I feel is blocking them, we're able to look at where you're going to go in the future, where I see you. But as I tell everybody, we all have destiny and we all have free will. So even though today I'm speaking with you and this is really where I'm going to see, sometimes life throws us a detour. We may have a different destiny and we can change our own path. But, you know, I'm probably about 98 to 99% accurate with what I see. And it's just, again, once I'm in, if people allow me in, I'm able to really just pull out the blockage or where their passion is or what they're trying to do. And, you know, it's just sitting down. Spring's a very powerful time for a lot of people. Summer is. And it's just able to look that out. I don't look very long-term in 2 years, 5 years, because there's just too many things in life. But I can probably tell you what it's going to be in the next 12 months, and I really don't like to go farther than that because you never know what life is going to do. But here's what I see for you, and it's really up to you with how long you'll be there, and that depends on you.
What about those people? And there's always a few of them. I think one of the big problems is, you know, we have this idea that we're going to be the next American Idol. You know, we have these rather childish sorts of dreams for ourselves. You know, I'm going to be a fireman, or, you know, something that. What do you do when you are faced with a person who is not suited for their vocational goals? Is there anything in your spiritual toolkit that where you can help this person get reoriented on the right path?
Sure. And I do, and really what it comes down to is be honest with the person. And that's what it comes down to. We all have hopes and dreams, and the majority of us had dreams that we actually don't get to live. But that's what life is about, and we're on a journey, and, you know, God has a journey for us. And because you're not going to be the next American Idol doesn't mean that you're a great singer. Because you're not going to be a megastar, you still have a gift that God's given you. And because it may not be your calling to be the next American Idol, it doesn't mean that what you want to give to the world, you have to hinder. It's a matter of the gift is to share with everyone and as many as you can. And so don't look at being the next American Idol. 99% of that is luck over talent. And so it's really just coming down to the person and not belittling them, but really bringing it down to, you know, life's a journey, and always strive for that American Idol dream. But in the meantime, if you're a singer, then sing. If you're a dancer, dance. If you're a brilliant mind, be a brilliant mind. And let's see where life takes you on that journey.
Yes, very wise, very wise. I'm amazed at you, Troy, because I'll tell you something. I know how difficult it must be to do so many different things well. And really, I wonder at your development, because you do so many different things. One of the other things that you do very well is the I Ching, which is a subject that's always fascinated me. And I'm really curious how you might, or whether you always or sometimes use your psychic gifts, which are numerous, alongside the I Ching. Very curious and fascinated about that.
I do use the I Ching, and I use it a little bit different. I don't use it on everybody that comes in. There's several occasions where I will use it, and that's when people come in within the wall, and even though I can connect with them, they're still not going to drop that wall. You know, at that point, I do go into the I Ching, because usually it's really a broad reading. And usually what happens, again, when you do the I Ching, it's one of 64 hexagrams, and it allows me to go into the hexagram and read to them what the hexagram is saying, and that allows questions to start happening. And again, that's another way that you break in, is because when you ask questions, you start to build that rapport. And if there are questions that are specific to them, then they start to open up. A lot of times when I do the I Ching, it obviously means nothing to me, but it means something to them. So I use it in that direction. I also use it for the people that, I don't want to say more materialistic, but they think they have to come to me and I have to do cards, or I have to have some physical, you know, a globe or cards or something.
Right.
And I know that feeling when they come in. So again, I can give them the gift that I have, but because maybe they've been to another psychic and the psychic had tarot cards and whatever, I'm kind of strange to them because I just know and I just know and I just know. So really, to make them feel calm, really get them to be thinking about everything I said, I will use the I Ching on that. to give them something to take away.
Oh, excellent.
Is how I use that.
Oh, very nice. It seems wise to, like, you would have more capabilities using them together that way, and putting people at ease, I suppose, helps to build that trust that you were talking about earlier. We talked a little bit about the career and problems with the career. What do you use these same principles in the personal life of the person, like for their romances? I mean, romance is a big deal. A lot of us have relationships that could definitely be better and could definitely improve. How can your gifts help me with my marriage or my relationship?
Well, and here's where I am probably different than 90% of the people out there. When it comes to relationship, that to me is more of a life coaching, than an intuitive. You can come in and I can know divorce, separation, things along those lines. But people that come in for those type of sits, they're looking for an instant, immediate answer. They're looking for encouragement or somebody to say, yes, it's going to be okay. Well, it's not always going to be okay. It's not. And I have to be honest with them that it's not. But if it's not okay, you try the best that you can do to make it work, and if it doesn't, then you can lay your head down knowing that you tried. When you get into a relationship, there's somebody else involved, so it's not just you. So I have to channel into both parties, and it's just not, I'm just not that type of person that you come in and I go, yeah, it's going to be okay, or, you know, you have to do X, Y, and Z. I'm fine to tell you that, but a relationship takes two people. And I can help you and give you suggestions and tell you what I see, if it's going to work, but if it's not. But we have free will. So you have to take what I tell you and believe what you believe, and decide what you want to do with it. It really comes down to you, how much you want to make it work or how you don't, and really what your partner, where they're at in this relationship. I do have clients where I have to tell them it's not going to work out. And really, when you're at that point, they know. It's just trying to hold on to that last thread. It's the change. It's the hurt. It's the shame. It's the heartache. That's what we talk about. And I feel like that's not necessarily on a psychic level. That's on a human being level. Being intuitive allows me to open them up and know that X, Y, and Z. But it really just comes down to being a coach. And it's something different that it is. And my press guy has mentioned this. I can open you up, and my job is to listen. And through listening is where I pick up things intuitively that I can help you. I'm never going to lie to you. So before people come and see me as far as relationships and stuff, you have to be prepared, because I'm going to tell you the truth. And it may hurt, but it's the truth. And, you know, relationships, they're... You know, the problems are really the same for all of us. It's just to what extent they are. They're not going through it alone. They're not the first person to go through it. They're not going to be the last. So really what it is just building again that trust through what I see and what I know. And a lot of it is listening and listening to what they're telling me, to know if there's room to change, to try to fix, or if it's maybe just time to move on. And that's part of the journey. And as I tell people in that instance, you know, what did you learn that's making you stronger, more powerful, so that if you go and when you go back into another relationship, you have this learning experience to help you grow?
Very good. You've mentioned, breaking through to a person and, you know, sometimes if they let you in and things of that nature, which leads to my next question here. Do people resist letting you in? I mean, on the surface, it might seem like it doesn't make sense. I go to you for help, and then I resist you and not let you in. But, I mean, do you ever find that? And when you do, or if you do, how do you deal with that sort of reluctance?
Well, that sounds like it's a tough question, but it's not. And I'll tell you, 99.9% of the people that come see me let me in once I can get that barrier broken. Some of the barriers are their religious beliefs, etc. the ones that, you know, in all my career, the one that stands out the most that I couldn't break the wall is a gal that came in, and she was a proclaimed atheist, antagonist. And I couldn't break her wall, although I found it interesting that she came to try to connect with her ex-husband, or husband that passed. She came in with no belief system. And it was hard for me because if you don't have a belief system, even if you don't believe in what I do, I'm not sure how I can help you. The other reason that she came in with no belief system is she wanted to use me for revenge against the ex-wife because he didn't change some things before his passing that she thought it was hers. So she didn't let her wall down to let me in when I had talked to her about, yes, he is on the other side, and did you know that he believed? Yes, I knew that he believed, and he wants you to believe. Well, I've never read anything about religion, and I have no plans on doing that. It came to the point where, you know, I don't charge, but I have to say, I can't help you. I can't. And right. It's just got to be honest. And so we were done with our conversation.
Yeah, I mean, you have to wonder. I mean, she sought you out, obviously, because she wanted to believe, she wanted to give it a shot, and yet couldn't quite take that leap of faith. And I'm glad it doesn't really happen as often as it does, quite frankly, because, you know, it is important to establish that rapport. Now, a lot of your psychic gifts are, well, they're dealing with the spirit world, things beyond normal perception. But you also mentioned some empathic tendencies. And my question now deals with your own well-being, your own safety. Is it not dangerous, or can it be difficult or stressful to connect with, you know, many people intimately, or perhaps to be exposed to dangerous or violent or unsafe things in their own psyches?
It is, and that's one of the things that I have struggled with for years. But what you have to learn, like in any business is business. And I prepare myself just like if I was in business and going into a board meeting or a conference meeting. I prepare myself that there's going to be different personalities, there's going to be different energies. When I go into a room, I have to observe the room first. Excuse me. I have to observe the room first and the people in there because of the energy. And, you know, being empathic and having empathy, I feel so much emotions. But I also know if it's an evil emotion or evil sense. And those people I absolutely stay away from. If you let yourself, it's like being a physician. You're going to have, you know, the mix of people. And you just can't allow your personal emotions get into the way of what you do or control my own personal well-being. I did have an incident right before Christmas that I did let my guard down, and it did emotionally affect me, which I think those things have to happen so that you realize I'm still a human being, and I still have feelings, but I have to realize that the gift that I have being empathic is I have to control it. So when I'm not helping somebody, I have to turn it off. And if it's something that is getting to me, my emotional well-being, my energy, I pray to God and ask for help. And have him walk through me what I need to do to remove it for my own personal well-being.
That's awesome. It seems, is that a part of your recommendation for the people that you help then, that, you know, they develop some sort of spiritual system and pray or meditate or things of that nature?
Absolutely. It depends on what their beliefs are, and we all have different, but it's right. A matter that we have to believe in something, and we get a lot of our strength from where, and that's what you have to channel into. So if meditation is what you need, or prayer, I do suggest that because that's part of us healing and moving forward. One of the things that I suggest to my clients a lot is, I'm not sure if you heard about, I believe that God or what your belief is has output everything here in the universe we could ever want or need. And so one of the things that I help people as far as praying is I'll tell them to write on a piece of paper, close your eyes, write on a piece of paper what you need to let go and what you want. Crumble it up, take it outside, and release it to the universe. Whatever your belief is, you must believe that everything's here in the universe. And by letting it go to the universe, let God, whatever your belief is, let that take care of it.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this, Troy. Are there particular cases that you, or situations that you feel you have a special aptitude for or particularly like to tackle?
I really like to tackle, I mean, I really love helping people with closure. I mean, it's just, you know, seeing people walk out of my office and just knowing I made a difference. But the other ones that I really like to help are the unsolved murders. Not the ones, say, for gang members or hardened criminals. I really like the ones that they're not able to speak for themselves. An example that I can use, it's been about a year ago, I worked on a case for a gal named Heather Elvis in North Carolina, 17-year-old girl, you know, worked at an Irish pub, was seeing an older guy that was married, and, you know, it came to me and I saw her, and parents are Baptist, very strong Baptist, so I couldn't get through them. But what I gave them and the people that were helping search for this girl and who the murderers were, I was 100% accurate. So I was looking through her eyes, and because she can't speak anymore because she's not with us, and ashamed that she allowed this to happen to herself, I got them to the point that, her to the point that once they were arrested, I believe she was able to move on. So I did what I needed to do for her, and I really enjoy those things. I really enjoy that.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Troy, we are going to take a one-minute break here shortly. I want to remind everyone that you can contact Troy. You can read up about his work at psychicmediumtroy.com. He has an excellent FAQ page. When we get back from break, I'll talk to you, Troy, about some of your channeling experiences and a whole lot more. Don't go away, everybody.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Welcome back to The Psychic Viewpoint. I'm Stephen Lewis, and I'm pleased to have here with me Psychic Medium Troy, the proprietor of PsychicMediumTroy.com. Troy, we were, before the break, we were talking about some of your favorite aspects of the work, and you mentioned, I think, a very important word, closure. How important would you say closure is to people in general?
Closure is the way we move forward. So it's 100% important. If we keep everything inside of ourselves, it makes us angry. It can make us depressed. It gives us a lot of anxiety, and it stops us from moving forward. So the best thing that I do through closure is help people move forward. And that's the most important thing to me.
Well, on the FAQ page on your site, psychicmediumtroy.com, you state that a medium connects with the spirit realm through channeling, and this is a process that's very interesting to me. And is it something that we can all do, or do we have to be born with gifts to channel?
No, you don't have to be born with gifts. One of the things that I always tell my clients is that if you're trying to reach a past loved one, talk to them, but listen. And you may not feel like you're going to hear them, because a lot of times when we talk or we ask, we have a preconceived idea of how they're going to come back through to us, how we think they're going to sound, and that's not always true. So what I tell people about the word channeling is that if you're trying to connect with the other side, talk to them. And it doesn't have to be physically talking like you and I are talking now. It's in your thoughts. It's in your process. They're going to come back to you if they're ready and open, and they may show you a picture, or you may get a memory about, oh my gosh, I remember when we were throwing mud at each other, or the geese were chasing us, or grandma shooed us out with a broom, or, you know, we did this car together. Just talk, but when you talk, you have to be open to receive, and that's where people struggle, is being open to receive. So we all have it. It's just how open we are. I tell people, if you're angry, yell at them. But be ready so when they come back.
Well, you know what? I think a lot of us in this day and age, we are big fans of CSI and forensic this and forensic that. Ultra, hyper, rational people, speaking for myself here. And I think I would be worried that I would hear poorly, that I would be fashioning the responses. And I was wondering if you, who has a lot of experience in this, can maybe give us some words of wisdom about how we can kind of separate the wheat from the chaff. How can I listen after I speak with my dead loved one? And, you know, can I be sure it's really them speaking or communicating with me and not myself communicating with myself?
Sure. And that's where you have to let that mindset go. That is it, me. You have to let it go. So really the best way is you have to open the mind. So you have to get rid of the preconceived ideas. Maybe it's the belief system you have. You have to get rid of those. And when you see something or you think you hear something, it's not always you. It's something that's being placed within you to remember. And once you start opening that door, that channel, then the more that you use it, the more it's going to become clear to you. They speak to us in different ways, and it's not always a conversation. It may just be, you know, it's different for everybody. For instance, a lot of times when I have my conversations with, and I'm going to use religion here, when I have my conversations with Jesus, I see things. So Jesus doesn't really necessarily speak to me in words, but I'll see things. For instance, this morning in the shower, I was doing my prayer thinking, you know, God, for giving me this gift and being able to help to a lot of people. And what do you have next for me? I actually have Jesus in front of me with a door, and I was asked to go through the door. And I went through the door because this is the next stage of my life. And it's the same way when you channel with people, your loved ones. You know, maybe they bring up a past memory that you and your brother used to go fishing together, and there's a one special time that happened when you were fishing that only you two know. You may think that it's a thought that you're carrying, but how I tell people is you have so many memories with your brother. Why would it be just this one thought when you can think of a thousand things? Yeah. It's the one thought, because that's what your brother wants you to think about.
That's very interesting, Troy. I did not look at it or even think of it that way before. You're exactly right. How many experiences have I had with my brother, using this example, that just never occurred? You know, I've already forgotten about that movie when we went to go see together in 1999 or what have you. So that's brilliant. My next question is actually about the strength of this connection that we have with our spiritual guides and with the spirit world. You know, I'm thinking back of the days of when the internet came out, we had broadband. I'm sorry, I apologize. We had dial-up. You remember dial-up, very slow. Then we had, you know, DSL and then cable internet. Is it possible for us to sort of increase our spiritual broadband and maybe strengthen our connection to the spirit world to get maybe if not more quantity, but a higher grade of quantity of communications from the other side.
It is, and really what it comes down to is, again, starting with your dial-up, going to the next step, and going to broadband, and that comes from time, personal time with yourself, whether it's meditation, whether it's things that make you just open your mind. A lot of that comes through sleep, because that's when we're the most vulnerable. But those things take work. Just like it took work to get the dial up to the next step to the broadband. It takes work, and to get stronger, it's practice, and it's believing in yourself and opening yourself up to more. You know, I don't go on the satanic or the dark side. There's things I don't do. And so one of the things that you learn is that when you open up yourself, you pray for protection, but when you start to get things coming in that you don't think should be there, just like the internet, you delete it. Right. You know, when you get porn coming up and stuff, you delete it. You do the same thing in your mind, and as you practice on the internet or learn how to do the websites, it's the same thing with practicing with yourself. And trusting yourself is the biggest key. You got to trust yourself and trust that you know the difference between good and bad. And you have to work on the good. And as you work on it and move forward with yourself, your beliefs, and, you know, your willingness to absorb, to listen, you are going to become a broadband speed.
Very interesting how, you know, tonight's topic for this show is seeking the self, and very interesting how this concept of trust just keeps bubbling to the surface, you know, just keeps coming up. You know, we definitely have to learn how to trust ourselves, to trust our mentors and guides, and then we can definitely find ourselves. Well, I'll tell you something. Perhaps people are wondering, you know, great, you know, you're a wonderful psychic, and you can help me. I want you to help me, but I live in Canada. Or, you know, I live in Maine and you're in Colorado. You know, how can you help me? You're so far away. Can you connect with me as a medium, even through the telephone? Is that possible?
It is, because spirit is universal. It's not location-based.
Okay.
So, you know, spirit is all around us. Our spirits are universal. And so, yes, you can connect with the person through the telephone by tuning into their spirit, into their energy, is how you do that. So for me, and maybe I've been doing it for so long, it's natural to me. You know, the phone call is just the same as being in with me within person. It's the energy, and again, if I'm connecting with the past loved ones, you know, universal. They're, you know, on a different plane, whether it be heaven, limbo, or whatever. So that doesn't matter. If you're calling me about things in, you know, personal about you, I still can pick up on your energy, which energy is universal. It's vibration. It's moving. And I can tune into you, and location doesn't matter. I have clients from London, Ukraine, different parts of the world. And it's a matter of me being open and having, I guess I would call it development, that I can feel, I can see from your voice. So for me, it's the voice, and then allow me in on a spiritual or energetic level.
That makes sense to me because, you know, even those of us who are not mediums, we're, you know, we can hear when someone's smiling on the phone, for example, you know, and if anybody doesn't believe it, you know, just try it. Call somebody up and agree, you know, do an experiment. Call somebody up and then just don't say anything for 10 minutes. I guarantee you, you'll have a psychic experience with that person. You know, you'll sense something coming through.
Very absolutely. And really what it comes down to is when you call somebody and let's say you called somebody, they just broke up with their significant other and, you know, they're trying or they lost their job. You know that. You know something's wrong.
Right.
From when you talk to them, and usually our own tuition, we have a good idea of what's wrong.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that. they don't realize that we have that. We all have that. And that comes from the person's energy, their psyche. And you're right. So talk to somebody, and you know if they're smiling. You know if they're sad. You know that if they share a lot of anxiety. We can tell that through the voices of who we talk to. And we channel, that's an energy that they're putting out, and that's what we absorb. And it's just going with what you feel, your own intuition, and connecting with that person.
And if even we can do it, how much more so for an individual who has been routinely connecting with spirit on a regular basis? Well, I have to really, it's all kind of mind-boggling to me because, again, the empathic abilities, the psychic abilities, if I'm ready to contact you for a reading, or a Skype session. I'm assuming we can do all of, what you can do on phone, you can do on Skype as well, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay, yep. Very good. All of your information is right there on your website. Can you tell us a little bit about making an appointment with you perhaps when we're ready to take that next step? Because, not only are you a medium, but you're also a coach, a life coach as well. So you offer so much. What do I do when I'm ready to take that next step?
Well, the way that I work is that through the website, psychicmediumtroy.com, you can schedule with me online there, or you can send me an email to my office, to scheduler@psychicmediumtroy.com, or you can just call my office. I'm very easy to schedule with. I try to keep a good schedule and keep room open. So when you call and schedule with me, I don't ask, and my staff doesn't ask, what you're scheduling with me for. Mm-hmm. Because I'm coming in to you for the scheduler that you did with me with no preconceived thoughts. I have an idea of why you're coming in, and I'm pretty good at that, but I don't want to know any more. I just would like you, just like calling up the set, an appointment. Go ahead and call. If we're not there, leave a message. Because I am in session a lot, and it's just that simple. I get a lot of people that call and they're scared, and that's a natural human emotion. So what I tell people is that when you call and schedule with me, just know that all you have to do is set the time and your phone number in case I have to cancel in your name, and take a breath when you do meet with me on the phone. Take a breath, relax. We're going to have a conversation just like you and I are having right now. And that's how that scheduling process works. So through the website, through email, or actually picking up the phone and calling is how you can schedule with me.
Excellent, excellent. We have a few final minutes here, Troy, before we have to part company here. I just want to ask you one final question because you are a coach, a motivational type of a person, and you're also a psychic medium. People might say they're two different functions. Would you agree with that statement, or would you disagree with that statement?
They are two functions for most people. Being intuitive and having life coaching, it pretty much is hand in hand. Because in life coaching, you, as a coach, you're drawing out information, finding where the person is in their life, and addressing those things and helping them make a plan to move forward, or things that they need to do to move forward. Being an intuitive coach, I'm able to bring that up front, so we don't have to go through, let's say, so many exercises, sessions, that I have to sit down and really spend an hour with you to go through A, B, C, D, where I can pick that up usually right up front, so it helps me coach you on a not necessarily higher level, but it allows me to build that trust with you again, because I know, and it's able for me to look and address the problem more straight away, so that we can move hopefully faster, because time is money, but it allows me just to really connect. And so for me, it's really, is my medium work the same as life coaching? Sure. It's you're coming to me with something, and it's my job to help you move forward, to to close out what's ever holding you back in life coaching or this. And so for me, it's really the same.
Well, Troy, I want you to know that the Psychic Viewpoint appreciates you and all the work that you are doing. You're doing some wonderful work. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time together. I appreciate you coming on the show, and I've learned a lot from you today, Troy. I really have.
Well, thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it, and I hope I was informational. And I just want to thank you for your time.
Hey, Troy, it was my pleasure, everyone. I want to remind you that you can find him at psychicmediumtroy.com. Thanks again, Troy. We'll have to have you back up here soon, and have a great evening, okay?
You too. Thanks a lot.
All right. Yes,
bye
sir.
Now.
Bye-bye. All right. Big thanks to Troy Griffin for joining us tonight. Again, psychicmediumtroy.com. Visit him and check him out. Give him a call, and you'll be glad that you did. Before we get to the banter and we get the opinions of my co-hosts, I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. We'd like you to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We're going to announce that call-in number later, so have your pen and paper ready. If you couldn't get to last week's show, you'll find the recorded archive link, as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. We want to connect with as many of you as possible, so share that link. Also, visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything pertaining to the paranormal. Everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development is there at psychicbloggers.com. If you are interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you will find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about her or him. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of us work at PsychicAccess.com, and we would love to hear from you. And by the way, site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading for traffic referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everybody. So please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. And I just want to add, the chat room especially is my favorite part. I love interacting with all of the listeners when they come into the chat room. So come give us a visit. So I would like to speak with Lauren about tonight's guest.
I loved your guest.
You loved my guest. That is wonderful. What did you love about him?
Well, because I actually am very similar to him. So being very, I am empathic, and then psychic, and then medium. So I loved that he talked about that and how he doesn't connect to the darker side, because I chose not to do that. But I've done a lot of life coaching classes and things. So I really just kind of connect that, because I really do feel that most of us do life coaching when we do readings too. And I liked how he connected all of his gifts into this. So I was like, yay!
Yeah, he is ultra positive, I tell you. I mean, he's the sort of person, after you get done talking to him, you just kind of like feel good. You know, he's really, really clean-hearted, good-hearted type of person. I liked him a lot. So you obviously are empathic. You use this skill at PsychicAccess.com. What's it like sort of having an open conduit to everything and everybody all the time?
You learn very quickly to hone in on it. And I'm always, when I have people calling that are empathic, I love to teach them. I'm like, ground clear, self-care. Because we're like sponges, and people, there's so many empaths out there, or sensitive people, and they just don't understand why they feel like they walk in a room and they feel their people suffer, all of a sudden they feel grouchy, or then they don't feel good, or they get anxiety, or they might go into a room with a lot of people and then just almost be sick the next day. It's like you're just absorbing everyone's stuff.
Yeah, that doesn't sound pleasant. I mean, I feel like I need some hand sanitizer after hearing that. Yeah. Wow.
Hand sanitizer, crystals, and grounding. But I mean, I really do. I can walk into a room with hundreds of thousands of people, and it doesn't even affect me. anymore. But you do have those moments. I love what he said is after Christmas, sometimes when you don't connect to it or you don't ground or you don't clear or you just kind of go, oh, I don't need to do that anymore. That's when it normally comes and kicks you in the butt. And we've all had those. You're like, oh, Lord.
So what you're saying, and I meant to actually ask Troy about this tonight, but due to the, you know, all the adrenaline of the interview, because, you know, it's like mountain climbing, you know, so exciting. Due to the adrenaline of the interview, I forgot. Let me ask you, is it something that you can kind of control or turn off when you need to?
I have learned how to just by... I mean, I'm 34, so in my 34 years, I have learned. But, I mean, there are still times if you don't kind of check it. I almost call it when I wake up, before I get in my car, I ground. Or if I'm around people, I teach people the brushing and almost the stomping. It's almost like the energetic body squeegeeing. I squeegee a lot.
Okay. Nice.
And I sage constantly, but to me, it is so important because if I don't, it affects me health-wise. I mean, if I don't do this or I don't do proper care of myself, I mean, I can get a migraine and be out for a week. I mean, I can get the most ridiculous health things. You're like, how in the heck does a 34-year-old have this issue? And you're like, I don't know. You're like, oh, I wasn't clearing. I absorbed everyone's stuff.
Here's the thing. I mean, sure, you've developed a procedure for turning it off, but can the skill be commanded? Can you turn it on at will, or are there some times when no matter how hard you try, it's just not working today, and
That part's almost like breathing. I don't even have to. I can put my thought to it, and it's there. So literally, when I want it not to feel anyone's stuff, it's almost kind of like, yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. So it's off. And if I want to, I almost kind of have learned to tunnel it into what I'm looking at versus a majority, unless I want to feel the majority of it. And then it's almost still like a frequency. If you think of an old dial tune radio, I've learned to lower the frequency to a specific thing that I'm trying to absorb or feel versus all of it.
Yeah. For me, I envision it as sort of like selecting thumbnails, you know, where you don't get the full sensory experience of the thing until you sort of, metaphorically speaking here, click on the thumbnail to enlarge it, you know.
Exactly. So you can see, you can feel all the thumbnails, and it's like, you're like, ooh, I don't want to feel that one. No thanks.
Thumbnails. Ooh, sounds like an inquisitor's device. Well, Dr. Nona Marie Foyer, I know that you also are, you have mediumistic abilities. You also communicate with entities in other planes. And what's your experience of that been like?
Well, I really liked how Troy described his processes. He was really, really clear. And especially in the beginning when he was talking about how hard it is sometimes to kind of make a breakthrough with a person so you can connect with them. That was really interesting to me. And that's something that's really typical in the Tibetan and Himalayan traditions where there's wild stories of the guru, the teacher, jumping out of a window naked and landing on their student in order to shock their energy into a different place so that they have a transformation and that then something can happen. If we went to that extreme in this country, we would be arrested and locked up and medicated. So, but does take.
Or maybe shot.
Or shot, exactly. And
right.
And there's other stories of, you know, and I've heard this too from my teacher that I study with, who's a Taoist master, that, you know, he was shoved out of windows. He was hung open over a pit, naked in a cage with manure and no water for weeks, and as all part of his training. And it was all to get him to leave his body, to dissociate. There's a wonderful book called Opening the Dragon's Gate about Taoist wizard, the 18th generation of Dragon's Gate Taoism. He's still living. He's still in China, this man. And he had similar training where it was just, you know, incredible deprivations and weird practices to enhance his abilities. So when people talk about how they want to have gifts, part of me goes, really? Are you ready? Because the training you know, unless you're born with the gifts and you're meant to have them, and or if you want to push your gifts to a limit, very often it's practices that are quite difficult to attain. And Sri Rama wrote a wonderful book called Living with the Himalayan Masters, and it's about his training, where his master sent him to almost every guru he could find in the Himalayas. So he studied with all of them. And he's living also, I believe, or he might have died in the last few years, but he does have a center in the United States. And he met masters who dropped their body and picked up a dead body of another person. So they literally jumped from one body to another. Or he would travel 500 miles to find out he had forgotten his diary, and the new master he was with would transport it. So he would have it in the next 5 minutes, his diary. And a pen would be there. But what he said about all of those practices was that they really didn't help you with enlightenment. They were great to show people that we could transcend the space-time continuum. But the discipline it took, I mean, the practices these masters did to be able to do that kind of work, was a lifetime of deprivation and strange things, practices that they had to do. So I love Troy's description, because it was kind of an Americanized version of, it's about as far as we can go, but he was addressing that kind of thing, that sometimes we have to shock the system to get someone to shift their consciousness drastically enough for us to get in there energetically and connect with some other energies that otherwise we might hide behind left brain rationales. So it was very, very good description. And I like what Lauren was saying about being an empath also. That's really important material, and it's a great deal of discipline. I had a lot of that going on when I was younger, and I had to do a lot of work, what she talks about, in order to get that under control so I didn't have to live in a cave my whole life. So that was really good material, Lauren. That's really important, because a lot of people are very empathic, and unfortunately we don't have a culture that really teaches us those skills, especially as children.
No, we certainly don't. And I think it's partly because we are in a patriarchal society, and a lot of what we're talking about tonight is more feminine in its scope instead of masculine. Well, Steve, I got a question actually for you. Steve Frampton is also a psychic medium, and he's also a hermetic astrologer. I want to ask you about the astrological Neptune. As a symbol for psychism, and maybe also how it can also perhaps go wrong. You know, on the one hand, Neptune can give you incredible clairvoyancy, et cetera, but on the other hand, it can lead to all sorts of snarls in the program. I wanted to ask you about that, Steve.
Well, from my opinion, Stephen, it's like any planet. It rules both ends of the spectrum. So my view is that Neptune is the ruler of our connection to other realms, other states of consciousness. So it is largely through Neptune that we connect to spirits, and looking at Neptune in a person's chart enables us to, was one of the factors we consider when we're assessing their psychic ability, but there are other factors as well, as you know.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask your opinion. Is it possible, for example, that you could look in someone's chart and say, well, you know what, mediumship, and based on their Neptune perhaps, you know what, mediumship might not be for you. It might be a bad idea for you. Or you know, is that sort of thing indicated in your opinion sometimes?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure that you're of the same opinion, that I always measure the power of something in a person. So is a certain ability strong, or is it weak? You know, you can look at a person that has a really strong mathematical ability, or that has a really weak mathematical ability, and the same goes for mediumship. And certainly Neptune's one of the factors. I always look at all of the houses of psychism as well, 4th, 8th, and 12th, and look at the moon, because the moon, in my opinion, rules the right hemisphere of the brain, which is the receptive or feminine side of the brain that enables us to channel also. But then I think you have to look at whether something even if an ability is prominent in a person, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be harmonious. So you can have somebody that's very mediumistic, but that has extremely challenging experiences with spirits. And you can have another person that has a very strong ability as well, but that has a very harmonious channeling ability. So I think you have to look at both the prominence of the ability and whether or not the ability would be beneficial or troublesome for the person. And you do see cases of people that are extremely mediumistic, but their mediumship or their connection to spirit presents all manner of quite severe problems.
What would be the nature of some of those problems, Steve?
Well, you have to bear in mind that we all go to spirit, and Hitler went to spirit, Saddam Hussein went to spirit. I'm sure that through resonance, we end up in different parts of the spirit world or on different frequencies. And I know from a client experience that there are certain entities that you can't easily connect with as a medium. So I had a client who, the only time I haven't been able to connect with a client's relative, it turned out that relative was a mass murderer and had been executed. And I was quite pleased that I wasn't able to connect. I could sense things about that person, but I couldn't interact with that person in spirit. But as I said, we all go to spirit. So there's good and there's bad on Earth. There's good and there's bad in the spirit world, or certainly on the astral plane at the lower levels. And you've got to be very careful that as a medium, you're not just connecting with any level of the astral plane. And that's one of the problems that people have, is they don't know how to surf their way through to the higher frequencies. But I know a person that has a very strong mediumistic ability, but that has a discordant mediumistic ability, can certainly be picking up on some pretty nasty entities, and that's where, you know, things like possession can become a problem.
Right. This is very, very interesting, Steve. Before I get back to you, Lauren, I have another question for you. I would like to announce the call-in number, because we've come to that part of the show where we will be taking your calls and questions. So when you're ready to call us in, go ahead and dial 724-444-4851. Let me repeat that, 724-444-4851. When you call, we're going to put you on hold, and you'll be able to hear the show as you're waiting. So as you wait, think really hard about your question. You cannot think hard enough about this question, because we really prefer, we adore, we love the pointed, specific, direct question. And unfortunately, we can only take one of them out of respect for the other ones who are waiting in the line. So again, the number to call is 724-444-4851. No, Lauren, I wanted to get your opinions about perhaps the idea of mediumship as an unhealthy form of escapism, almost as a sort of an intoxicant. And I wanted to get your opinion to see if perhaps you would agree that this would be a danger for certain people who are gifted in this area.
I mean, the idea of just opening and channeling without grounding and protecting and really kind of putting your spiritual boundaries, it's just kind of like, I wouldn't open my front door and my back door and my windows and let anyone in my house. So it's, I kind of look at it the same way, as I'm like, I told my children, I will cause physical harm to you if you bring a Ouija board in my house. I'm like, not do it, mom will strangle you.
Well, I guess I'm curious about one thing specifically, though. Is it a situation or where you have to regulate yourself and prevent yourself from doing too much of it, for example? Can you get, you know, is it possible to escape from real life through your connections to the spirit world? And then you have to kind of like, you know, snap back and say, hey, wait a second, you know, I got to, you know, join the real world here. I'm too much connecting to the spirit world.
I have never felt that. I mean, I feel like I got one leg in the spirit world and one leg in this world. I'm like straddling awesome. The line. So it's kind of, anytime you're going to channel it, you got to be grounded, because if you're not present here, you're really not able to bring down the communication is how I'm feeling. But I do hear what you're saying. It's just I haven't experienced that. I do feel if people aren't balanced or they're just kind of doing it constantly, I'm like, what is the result? What are you trying to obtain? If you're literally trying to stay up there, you know, you can do that, but hello, you live in this world, so you need to come back down, and you're not really going to be very productive or able to even channel and give messages if you're always up there.
Very good point. We got to come back down to earth sometime, right?
Yeah, you got to come back sometimes. You know, it's kind of like at a candy store. You got to walk out of the candy store sometime. You can't live on it.
Who says?
Your blood.
I'm not paying attention to my blood. I want those gobstoppers and jawbreakers and nerds, especially the nerds, man. I love that stuff like crap.
Your pancreas would disagree.
You know what? My pancreas is outvoted. Dr. Nona Marie Foyer, I've got a question for you because, you know what? I've noticed that you have an affinity for the Asian and Eastern versions of mysticism. Is there a tradition of mediumship in these strains of mysticism from the East?
I found more that the Easter is trans-channeling, but the discipline I have noticed with Eastern is that it is so, you have to learn to be very grounded so you can dissociate and leave your body, but yet come back. So I like what Lauren was saying. I will say, though, I've had a lot of clients in the United States who would rather talk to their angels, spirit guides, and their dead ancestors than deal with their childhood issues or some of their own growth issues. So I have found quite a bit of tendency for Americans to want to what I call escape into spirit contact without having a good balance of doing their work here on Earth. In the Asian tradition, it is so rigorous what I have seen. It's so hard. It's really about like ripping you out of your body and yet leaving a path behind so you can get back in your body so that you become extremely disciplined in being able to channel entities, call in entities, go to other dimensions, and then come home. Right. In America, what I found, there's a lot more of that going out, but not enough of the discipline of the work of grounding and anchoring so you can come back to your body with ease and also to withstand some of the, you know, when you're out of your body like that in another dimension, entities can really do a number on you, just like people can. They can manipulate, they can push you around with energy. You have to be really strong because there are entities out there that look at us like we're food, especially if you're a light worker. We're like, we're like yummy, yummy chocolate, you know, like light workers covered with chocolate.
And disturbing thought.
Yeah, it is scary.
I tell you what, Dr. Nona Marie, not to change the subject so much, but we do have a very special contact coming through from New Jersey for you.
New Jersey. I hope there's a New Jersey accent because I love Jersey. Hi, who's this?
Hi. I was calling because I went on a date last Thursday. I never heard back from the guy, so I guess he wasn't interested. So I was calling to see if you see me getting into like a serious long-term relationship sometime this year, get married or something.
Yeah. Okay. And what's your first name?
Carolyn.
Helen?
Carolyn. Carolyn.
Sorry. Hi, Carolyn. I don't see you getting into a serious relationship this year. I do see you getting into one in the beginning of next year. I do see you dating this year, and I think it's really important for you because what I think is that you have some concept in your mind about what kind of relationship you want, what kind of man you want, but right now it's more of a theory. And there's certain things that you are focused on in a relationship, and you have forgotten some other really, really important items. So it's kind of like somebody says, you know, I want a house and I want to make sure it has, you know, a master bedroom with a jacuzzi bath and all that. But then you forget like the bigger picture, like it has to be in a great neighborhood with nice neighbors. Otherwise, you suffer, you know, even though it's a great house. So I think you have ahead of you dating, I think you will have one relationship this year that will not work out, but you still need to do it. So I would say proceed with caution. In other words, don't look at every man like, is this the one? Look at every man with a question mark of, I wonder what I'm going to learn here. And leave it open like that, because you will be learning enough that will shift your perspective, that will then change you so that another kind of man can come in for you next year. And I know people hate hearing this kind of message, because what it is really is we have to change a little bit first before we'll be ready for the next adventure in life, in this case for your relationship. And there are no shortcuts. You can't read a book. You can't go to psychotherapy. You literally have to live through the experience with an open mind of just going, okay, the universe is going to change me a little bit so that then when I meet a guy who's right for me, I'll be ready. And the Chinese have a saying that luck is really the ability to be ready when opportunity comes. So that's what this year is about for you. But I think you'll actually have a nice time. Also, you sometimes have forgotten how to play a little bit. You get a little serious. You with girlfriends, you're very good at playing. But sometimes with guys, you sort of want to get down to business or the relationship. So I think you also need to put a little bit of that back into your life. Get a little bit more lighthearted about approaching a relationship. Does that make sense? What I'm saying to you? Do you understand? Yeah. Okay. So I think you have a bright future with that. It's just going to be delayed for a year.
Okay. And the guy that I want to date with Thursday, that was just, he just wasn't interested in stuff like that.
No, he was not. And I would say thank your lucky stars he wasn't, because he's a bit of a user and a bit of a taker. Very charming, very charismatic. And people who use and take very often are that way, because they know how to get what they want. So they're very, very attractive very often. So I would say you were saved rather than cursed.
Okay.
All right.
Why he didn't call back? I thought he was interested, you know, after the date.
He has a lot of women that he's shopping, and he is not looking for a relationship, and he is not monogamous at this time either. So he's shopping. He knows what to say. He knows all the right words to say to a woman. He doesn't say to them, hey, I'm a playboy, I'm looking for another date. He doesn't ever say that. He'll say all the right things. But he is not somebody who's looking to settle down, and he's got a lot of other women. And you weren't quite, you know, everything that he was looking for, a little bit too much work, a little bit too honest, not enough play, not enough flirt, not light enough, you know, like where he could just sort of come in and out with you and leave it be. I would say thank your lucky stars. Yes, thank your lucky stars. I do think, by the way, he will call back in about 10 days. And if I were you, I would proceed with caution.
Okay. But so next year, somebody serious will come along.
Someone serious will come along for you, but it will not last. But the end of February, and it will go for maybe 4 months. It will look good, but it will not last. So don't talk yourself into its love. Just say, gee, I really like this guy, and let me see what's going on here and what I'm learning. And just keep an open mind. But, you know, we, not just women, but men do the same thing. Every time we meet somebody, we get into, oh, is this the one? Is this the one? And I would say take the attitude of just going, I wonder what I'm learning here. I wonder what I'm getting out of this relationship. If it's the one, it won't go away. But I don't think that it will be the one for you. It'll be fun, though, and you'll learn something.
All right. So next year is the time that I'm getting serious.
Next year, yes, you will meet somebody, and that will turn into a serious relationship for you, yes. But this year, just have fun.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, Sweetie. Thank you for calling.
Okay, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you very much. You can find Dr. Nona Marie Foyer at psychicaccess.com. Next, we have a caller from New York for Steve.
Hi.
Hi there. What's your name?
My name is Kristen.
Christine. Okay, Christine, welcome to the show. What's your question for us?
Hey.
I met someone last week and spent a few hours with them. It felt like...
Oh, the line is is really bad, Christine. I can't hear your question.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So I had met someone last week, and I spent a few hours with them, and it was like in the short hours I was there, everything had kind of changed in my perspective, but like nothing in my life had really changed. I had also seen two butterfly symbols in his house, which, you know, like a medium had told me recently would be like, you know, the symbol of my grandmother who had passed. But, so we had sent some text messages after that, but he hasn't talked to me in a few days, and I can't really seem to get him off my mind, and I don't know what to really do with this whole experience or anything, really.
Okay, I couldn't hear the first part of what you were telling me, Christine, but I think your question is that you met somebody and you haven't heard from him recently, and you're wanting some guidance on this connection. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
Yeah, okay. Well, in honesty, I feel quite strongly that he's not the right person for you. In other words, I don't feel that you'll have a long-term relationship with him, Christine. I don't feel that there's anything wrong with him in as such. I just don't feel that this is the right connection, and I don't feel that this is the right timing for you. I feel that actually as you move into the spring and summertime, that the universe and spirit are more supportive time. So I honestly feel that what you've got here, what you've manifested here, is a little bit of a test, for you that causes you to think even more deeply about what you're looking for in a partner. Because I don't feel that he is as attentive or sensitive as I would like the right partner for you to be. And so I do feel that you'll hear from him, but I don't feel that he's ready for a committed relationship. And I don't feel that the compatibility between the two of you is high. And it's so important to be really clear with ourselves that we're complete as we are, and that we don't need to, as such, to be in a relationship or have a partner. The more we raise our self-esteem, the more we love ourselves and love our lives, the clearer we become. And the clearer we become, the easier it is to create what we really want rather than what we were needing at a time. So really, I feel that this experience and this person is a reminder for you that you've created this as a reminder that you want a partner that's really attentive. And from the very beginning, this person should be very attentive, should remain very connected with you, and make it very clear to you that they really want you, and they really feel that you are potentially a wonderful partner for them to be with. And that's what you're looking for. So really, my guides make me feel very strongly. It's just an experience that causes you to think even more deeply about what you really want. And if you continue to do that, I'm drawn to late spring and into summer. But if I'm honest, I feel it's pretty much July that you would meet somebody. I feel about a week to 10 days into July, but you've got so much to offer, and you know, you've done so much good work yourself You've come a long way. You're not somebody that's sitting idle in life, just drifting along. You've really taken your self-development and your growth very seriously, and that's going to pay dividends. But this has been a little bit of a test, and I don't feel that he's the right chap. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks. I wish you lots of luck, Christine, and have a wonderful spring and summer.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling us, Christine, and thank you, Steve, for that reading. You can find Steve Frampton at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from Ohio for Lauren.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? Good evening. Hi. My name is Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Hi. I have a burning question, and I guess it's all been love tonight. This is love, too. This gentleman who I'm with, or I'm not with him right now, we're broke up, but it's kind of a long story. We originally met over 15 years ago, and we dated when I was younger, and he wouldn't commit to me back then. We were together about 3 years, and we broke up with him, and I got married for 8 years, and I just got divorced a couple years ago. So we ended up getting back together a couple of years ago, and it's kind of been on and off. But this guy, I mean, broke my heart 15 years ago. And I recently found out from him that he was heartbroken when I left. This is what he told me. And it's just kind of a back and forth, kind of a little codependent in my opinion, relationship. But I really love the guy as a person, as a friend. And it was always me breaking up with him for whatever reason. He does have things about him. We all do. But this time he said, no, don't call me back anymore this time. So I really am kind of at a standstill with this. This has been a love story with him, about what's going to transpire with it. I guess the thing is that I'm not real old. I mean, I'm about 40. He's in his 50s. I mean, mm-hmm. I really wanted to marry him. I really do. What do you think about it? Is what's going to happen with this?
All right. And go ahead and tell me his name, hon.
His name is Duncan.
Duncan. Okay. So your question, this one, make sure I understand. So I heard what you said about the before, broke up after 3 years, married someone else, got divorced, you guys reconnected, and there's been back and forth. So your question is then, are you going to marry this person? Is there going to be a reconnection in a marriage?
Yeah.
Is that what you're... Okay. Right away I hear no. I hear that literally almost... It feels like a dance, is what I'm getting, between the two of you, that it is literally almost... I'm literally getting this beautiful dance, and you guys are supposed to teach each other things. You're actually, I'm feeling like more advanced, and you're needing someone that's able to stay and commit and be fully present and not have the not being fully invested. So I'm not sure what was going on with the relationship, but it feels like you're there, he's not, and then you're upset about it, and then he comes back and he plugs back in. And then there's back and forth, and then he's plugged in, and then you're not plugged in because you're upset about something else that you're holding on to from years ago. And then he's like, why are you still holding on to this? Now I'm upset, you're upset. It almost is like this back and forth dance, which is beautiful in itself, but kind of not healthy.
Yeah, I agree. It's totally codependent, but I honestly think, like, on a spiritual level with him, we have some type of a connection there. And
well,
I just can't, you know, should I just get on with my life and forget it or what?
Well, no, I mean, that I'm never going to tell someone don't pursue something. It is your life. It is your choices. So if you can put down the boundaries and call the person, say, this is where I am. Can you meet me at this place? And the person can, and you can have a healthy relationship, then by means, go for it. I mean, who's to say, yes, you do have a connection, but if it's going to be a codependent relationship and it's not a healthy relationship, then at that point, it's time to just axe it and let it go and call in something healthy that's better for you. Right now, I feel like there will be a good brief time of 3 or something months where you're not talking to this person. Then the person will start talking to you again. So at that point, I invite you to do some work on yourself and almost kind of look at really what you want in this relationship. Look at why you broke up. Look at why he keeps stepping away, why you're stepping away. Look at your marriage, all the qualities with him that you loved, all the things you did not like, and look at that what you're pulling in, because you'll actually probably notice, and what I'm feeling is their personalities and some of their traits are very similar. So with that, I invite you to look at both of those. Even if you have to get a piece of paper and write each of their names and the things you love, the things you didn't like, and look at the similarities and see what you're really pulling in. Because people don't want to marry someone just to marry someone. You want to marry someone because they're really a good partner, and especially as you're older now, that you want someone that is going to fit and mirror you in such a healthy way, that's going to challenge you, but nothing's ever perfect, but that's also going to give you growth, support, love, joy, laughter, versus, wake up, oh, it's you again.
So in other words, I know we all free will and so forth, but in other words, what you're saying is that if we can work on this, then there is a possibility that we're going to be together, because I really love him a lot. I really love a lot about him, and I think he does too. But
I can feel it. So what I invite you to do is sit down, and the exercise I invited you to do is look at that and see, do you want to move forward with this person? And if you do, then do it. It is your life. But right now, I don't see marriage. I don't see this, but also it has to be a choice and it has to be that way. So at that point, sit down and have a conversation with him. Communication is the best thing. Tell him how you feel. Let him tell you how he feels. And no more of the games, the running back and forth. If you guys can't sit down and talk to each other at a soul level, at a love level, at a personal level, and really ask for what you want, then at that point, maybe you're not what he needs and he's not what you need. And the best thing to do with love a person at that point is to let them go. So, but I do have to wrap this up, and I do wish you well. And I mean, if you have more questions, I hope you'll contact me on Psychic Access. But I mean, really go back and listen, and everything that I told you to do, I really do invite you to look at that, because that will really kind of answer those. But right now, I do not see you getting married in the next 6 months. I see you just kind of taking the next 3 months and kind of looking at things.
Right. So do you think we'll get back together 3 months from now?
I have to go, hon. I have no more time with you. But go back and look at that, because you asked, were you guys going to get married? And I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a good night.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much. If you'd like a reading with Lauren, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from Florida. Hello, Florida. How are you this evening? Calling on Florida.
I'm here. You just unmuted me.
Hi. Welcome. Welcome. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, loving my new year so far. What's your question tonight?
I wanted to know what you see coming up for, like, me relocating.
Relocating, okay. That's a nice practical thing. I'll tell you what, my initial thoughts are, of course, relocating expenses. I do think, obviously, you're going to have to pay for relocating, and it's going to cost money, which is not anything really that you wouldn't expect. What you are not going to expect, though, and I'm not sure if you're asking me whether the relocation will happen or not. I do feel like it will happen. And I think that you're going to be surprised by some of the expenses, you know, and I think some of the expenses might sneak up on you. So what I would advise you to do is to go back over your projected expenses for this relocation with a fine tooth comb. And that includes any sort of calculations you may have projected for your earning potential in the new place. You know what I'm saying? Or the cost of living in the new area, And so it's not just so much moving expenses as the local economy of the place that you're moving to. For example, I'm not sure what your career is. I don't pretend to know. But if you're in any kind of an industry that, you know, depends on clients or customers, such as retail or consultation professions or anything, you know, the place you're moving to, there might be some poverty in the area, perhaps, and that might impact your business. So I just want to kind of raise that possibility. Not saying it's destined to happen, not saying it's definitely going to happen, but it's just something to, I really feel strongly that you should take that into account. So the relocation, my biggest concern there is financial. I feel pretty strongly that there are going to be some surprise expenses that are going to sneak up on you. But I don't. They won't necessarily be a surprise, obviously, if you go back over the numbers on this thing and sort of recrunch them. But even if you do that, there still will be some nasty surprises. It's just sort of the way this situation is. And part of that would be an adjustment process. So I'm not particularly worried about that. In fact, overall, I think that after that adjustment process, I think after you rebound from the financial impact of moving and get settled in and get used to the local economy there, et cetera, et cetera, I think you'll be quite happy with the new place you move to. That's what I feel. You know,
okay.
I think it'll pay off for you quite substantially in the long run, especially if you are hoping for it to make a difference financially. It'll definitely do that over the long run. So, I mean, on the one hand, I'm saying here, sure, it's going to cost money. It's going to be expensive, and it is. You can bank on that. You're expecting that anyway. But over and beyond the expected expenses, I predict that there will be unexpected expenses that you weren't counting on, A. And B, again, settling in and integrating yourself economically into the new place might present some difficulties. But C, you will prevail over all of these, and you will be quite happy that you moved. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. So it's. I think the worst part of the move is going to be right in the beginning stages of it. And the only reason that's going to be difficult, I think, is because there's going to be so much to do. You know, it's a situation where if you know you might make yourself sick because you're running around and doing so many things all at once in order to prepare for it. And you know, I don't know why, but there could possibly be arguments with others because you're moving. You know, but if you're, I judge that it's still a good thing for you to do. I encourage you to do it, and I think that after the negativity clears away, all the frenzy, the hectic pace and everything, and you get through the discomfort of moving, you'll be quite happy that you did, and you'll see that it will have a positive impact on your bank account.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Best of luck to you, okay?
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, just want to remind everyone what the call-in number is. That number is 724-444-4851. And we have a caller from Iowa for Dr. Nona Marie.
Hello, Iowa. Are you there?
Yes, this is Karen.
Hi, Karen. How can I help you?
Well, just last summer, I had my what I'm calling my awakening. I found out that I was a wide open empath and a light worker. Mm-hmm. And what I'm trying to figure out is where my path is to go with this. What should I be doing as a light worker?
Good question. It does feel to me that you actually doing work on a more full-time or majority of your time basis is about 2 years down the road, and that there is a teacher for you, someone who will be, not that you're sitting at their feet, but someone who has some skills to share with you, and someone that you will be able to work with on and off. You won't be working with them solidly. What is up a little bit is that while your skill set, your spiritual skills have blossom, your ability to handle the psychological reactive nature of humans is not exactly strong enough for you to survive that right just yet. That's what the delay is, the two-year delay, along with the teacher, but it's also handling what happens to humans when they go through healing. They're not always pleasant, not always rational either. And there's a part of you that's, to me, still a little raw or a little sensitive in that area. And also with boundaries, sometimes you're either very strong, like way strong, maybe even too strong. And then other times your boundaries are wavering. So that's another area that feels to me like you need to get more balance in that area as well. In terms of the actual work that you're going to be doing, it is actually nothing that you know about just yet. It will have a lot to do with transdimensional work. I think right now you have entered some lower levels of spiritual energy and connected with that, but I think something is going to happen to you in the next 2 years where you will be working with spirits who are not angelic, they're not ancestral, they are literally, I want to say, from another dimension. And the work that you will be doing will not be very explainable to humans. Therefore, your skills of working with people have to get sharpened a little bit more. That's the most I can describe it right now, because it's something you haven't learned yet. So it's impossible to describe. If it's like telling you about American Sign Language, if you have no idea what American Sign Language is, it's not going to make much sense to you. I would say to you that by the end of February, or maybe the second week of March, the latest, the person that you're going to start working with, who will be a kind of teacher for you, will come into your life. I think that you will also have a little bit of a blow up with them, or maybe a falling out, or a little bit of a hiccup of some sort. But I think you will also get over that. And I would encourage you to continue to work with them. That hiccup will happen, I believe, because you will move in too fast to the work, too fast to the relationship. And that person will put a halt on it. And I think you will take that personally and be upset. I think if you can get over that, though, you will find out the person is right to slow you down. They're right to channel your energies in a slightly different direction than the way that you want it to go. So I think you have a very nice adventure in front of you. Just not going to go exactly in the straight line that perhaps you're imagining it will go. But it will go.
Oh, that's fascinating. And I appreciate the information. That really helps. I've been really muddling for a long time trying to figure out what should I be doing with this, you know. Yeah. So that helps very much. I appreciate it, that.
All right. I hope you stay in touch. I'm be really fascinated to see how you develop.
All right. Thank you. Right. Have a great night.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you very much for that fine reading from Dr. Nona Marie Foyer. You can find her at psychicaccess.com. And again, just want to take this opportunity to pass out the number one last time in case you guys have forgotten it. It is 724-444-4851. Don't be shy. Give us a call. So we're waiting for some more calls to come through the transom, I do believe. I think during the when we were last speaking, I wanted to ask Steve some questions, and if we don't get some calls soon, I might have to be forced. Ah, too bad, Steve. You got off the hook, buddy, but you do have a call from Ontario.
Great, thank you. Who's calling from Ontario?
Hello?
Hi, what's your name?
Chris.
Chris, how can we help you?
Well, I guess maybe we should just stick with the theme of the night, I guess. Love or relationships or whatever. I was just wondering if there was going to be a reunion with somebody I'm just convinced is twin or whatever. We just kind of had it falling out, but... Yeah.
So Chris, you're saying to me, will there be a reunion with a twin? Is that what you said?
Well, yeah, like a soulmate kind of thing, right?
Oh, but okay, so you're asking me, when you say reunion, do you mean that somebody you were with, and you want to know whether you'll be back together again.
Kind of had like a falling out, and I'm just wondering if it's going to resolve itself.
Okay. Well, the first thing I would say to you is that there are deep feelings. You know, this is somebody that is deeply sensitive, and... we have to be quite careful how we handle people that have this depth of sensitivity, because they can take things the wrong way, they can get upset about something that, you know, we're not even aware that they may have taken something a particular way or got upset about something that we consider to be something and nothing. So I feel that this person's taken something minor the wrong way, but I do feel that it can be resolved. And I feel that you're a very logical guy. You're far more somebody that seems to think things through or reflect and then wants to discuss and resolve matters through conversation than somebody that's more, hanging on to their emotions. So you're coming from different perspectives in terms of the way you function, but I do feel that it can be resolved. And I feel that you can resolve this actually within, well, it feels like 3 weeks. I don't feel it's going to take a long, long time to put this situation right, but I feel that you need to articulate that you care very deeply for this person, that you want the opportunity to understand why they feel upset, why there is this distance, and you'd like to correct that. And I feel if you take that approach, then you can fix it. But just be choose your words carefully and try to reflect, try to put yourself in the other person's shoes and consider how they function, what they might want to hear, how they may perceive you. But I feel if you do these things that you can fix this situation, and it doesn't feel like a long time required before you're able to sort this out, Chris.
Like, we're not even in contact right now. I just get the feeling that she can't stand me at this point. But
no, I don't feel so. I feel that this person is a little bit lost within themselves at the moment. This is somebody that feels quite confused, quite disappointed in themselves and their life generally. It's not all about you. This is somebody that just needs to go within themselves and reflect and move through that period. But I feel that you can. I feel that you can write to this person, whether that's sending a letter or a card or email. I do feel that you can go ahead. I feel that if you do that in about 2 weeks, you will be in contact again shortly afterwards. But just plan carefully. Think carefully about what's happened, the person that you're dealing with, how they function. And think carefully about what you will say. But I feel you can resolve it. I don't feel that this is the end, that you're not going to hear from this person, or that the situation is completely broken. Okay?
Okay, because it was starting to get pretty serious, and I just felt like she was scared, running away.
She's confused. And she's not seeing things very clearly. She's not thinking very clearly. She has quite a lot of fear, and she's certainly been hurt in the past. You find as well that there have been, when she was younger, really some quite considerable challenges with the mother. And so the whole theme of nurturance and trust is a challenge for her. But I really feel that this is largely about her fears and not about you or something that you've done. And I do feel if you handle it very carefully, if you think it through, you can resolve this.
That's good, because you just described her perfectly, yeah. I don't know if I can get one more question in, but
we can't.
I'm having the coming year to be a good
one question per person
in general.
Can you hear me, Chris?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, sorry, Chris, we only take one question per caller, I'm afraid, because we're limited on time. So I'm only able to answer that one question. Yeah. But, you know, you can call back at in another show and ask your other question, or you can contact one of us or any of the readers on psychicaccess.com if you want to ask your second question sooner, and they'll be happy to help you.
Right. Well, you answered the main question, so thank you. And yeah, that was good.
Great, thanks. Chris. Well, we wish you all the best. Good luck.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks a lot for calling in, Chris. We wish you the best on that. Thank you, Steve, for that amazing reading. If you would like to have a reading with Steve, you can find him at psychicaccess.com. Lauren, you have a caller now from New York.
Hello, New York.
Hi, this is Katie.
Hi, Katie. What can I do for you?
Let's see. I have another relationship question, I guess. I was going to ask a different one, but I think I'll stick with this. I have never been in a real relationship, and it's been frustrating because I'm 28, and, you know, it's kind of pretty late to the game. However, you know, I've been, over the past few years, whatever, trying to do some soul-searching while just doing stuff I like to do, working on myself and all that stuff, and just thinking, you know, this year, and it just kind of never comes to fruition. And I was wondering if you saw anything coming up in the near future, what, like, you know, if there's any news I could know about, or, you know, what's getting my way. I don't know.
Okay. So I actually do see someone later in this year, not quite close. It feels like more, feels like fall energy is what I'm kind of picking up. And I feel like he's 32. You haven't had a serious relationship yet, or a very long one, but I feel like almost you've been watching people's relationships, like all your friends run into these relationships and then they fall apart, or they get married and then they're not happy. And it feels like things through childhood. So I don't feel like you're not late to the game. You're actually one of the smarter ones. It's kind of doing the nurturing and the self-care and really the observation of what do I want. But I think sometimes you get a little, what I'm feeling is you get a little too almost hermited, and then you don't go out and have the fun, the dating, the looking, you know, let me go out and just do this. And it's almost kind of you look at him and you're like, nah, I'm going to see like a checklist. Do you have a checklist? Because I think I'm going to see a checklist.
I try not to keep that or, you know, anything specific, but, you know, I don't know. That's a...
I almost see he's kind of short, or I don't know. And I almost see you almost hermiting in. So, I mean, this year I suggest you going out and start doing those social things and getting out, because I really do feel like you're meeting someone in the fall. But I feel like there's a couple little flings in the next 3 or 4 months, but that's just kind of getting you back out and playing. But I definitely feel like in the fall, it's almost like a chance meeting, which is interesting because it feels like coffee shop, like random. It doesn't feel like is how I'm seeing it, which is pretty interesting. So with that, get yourself out there. Go do the social things. I mean, however you want to date. I'm always like, hey, get out and do the activities versus the online thing, but that's me. So however you like to go out, I see the more social you are and the more just you're out having fun and you're looking for a friend. You're not looking for a husband. You're not looking for a boyfriend. You are looking for a friend, someone that you have an interest in, someone that you like the hobbies. It's almost like a compatibility thing, because that is how you will go into that relationship. It's almost starts as a friendship and then moves into the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Is how I'm seeing it.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I feel like it's what I've pretty much tried to do year in, year out, you know, just go for that that mindset, and I don't know, you know, gets a little repetitive, so hopefully you're right.
Well, I wish you well, but yeah, just make sure, you know, kind of get yourself out there and don't look at it as, oh, I need to hook a man, or I need to find a boyfriend, or I'm late to the game. It's almost like, you know, yeah. What? I I let the control issues go. I let it go. And now I just go out and I'm social. And who I meet, I go out and I have a good time. And that will really shift the energy into not so, oh, I don't have someone or I haven't had someone. It's more like, oh, I'm going out having a good time. And I'm in that energy and that field of really having a good time and being playful. And your vibration is up there. You actually attract those people to you at that same place versus, did you see the difference right there versus I got to find a guy or it hasn't worked or I've kind of put myself out there. Are you seeing the difference in that?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Okay. Well, yeah. Keep in touch. I hope it works out and you have to let us know.
Good. Thanks so much.
All right.
Thank you very much for calling. You can find Lauren at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from Virginia. Hello, Virginia. How are you?
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. My name is Stephanie. I also have a relationship question. I befriended someone at work and would just like to know if his feelings, the way he states them, are genuine for me. We were friends, and then it became more, but the issue is he's in a relationship already.
Yeah, that is a big issue. And you know what? His feelings for you are legitimate in the sense that he's not lying if he's, you know, if he's laying on the charm and he's enthusiastic about telling you how he feels and he's affectionate. I'm picking up that he is very much affectionate for you. And the repercussions on his existing relationship are going to be profound. I hope you're aware of that. They're definitely going to be profound. Right now, he is very, what we call, contemplative, meaning, you know, he is in extreme overdrive mentally. He's definitely shook up. Now, in a way, maybe he is perhaps accustomed, you know, maybe he's used to this by now, and maybe it's not working up his marriage to a terrible or his relationship to a destructive degree, but you're in his head, a big deal. And you know what, it doesn't matter what anybody says, the way this thing is going here, I definitely expect future activity with him. I would expect him to pursue you, you know, and because things have been going kind of on a trajectory where, you know, you guys have become friends, and you know, it's kind of like a natural courtship. That's usually, a lot of times it's the first thing that happens, especially when it's a good romance. And then, you know, now things are evolving to something a little steamier than just mere friendship, and it's going to go even farther than that. So, you know, you have to, if that's what you want, then fine. You're going to be pretty happy with it at first, but you know, the problem is that the relationship that he's in right now is going to start imposing its routine, and you're not going to be happy with that at all. I don't feel so much that he would immediately clear out the other relationship before going, you know, before committing to you. I just don't see that happening. He might try it, or he might say that he will, but even if he did that, you know, we've avoided one danger and we have another one because he didn't break up, completely or properly or what have you. He might go back to her, you see. And so this is the quandary that we're in. It's a very peculiar type of situation because, A, you know, the thing that you want to happen is going to happen. You're going to make some romantic progress with him, probably as much of it as you want to make. But by the same token, it's, you know, it's going to cause some misfortune later because he might get some cold feet later. And, you know, you can never tell. The relationship he's in right now is a wild card. What I see with that relationship is that it has a history of problems, which, from my perspective, means that the history of problems can continue. Do you know what I mean? So that's what I'm picking up with this gentleman right now. My advice, if you're calling asking for advice, you know, they say you shouldn't really give it unasked for advice. You didn't ask me whether or not you should continue forward with this guy. But I'll tell you something. I don't really see it working out for your best interest in the long run, and I would advise you strongly not to do it. It's going to be hard not to let it happen because you're going to, you know, everything's going to fall into place the way you want it to. But I think really, I strongly believe that what's called for here is a purposeful, intentional rejection, declining. No, thank you. Because the sense I'm getting is that after this honeymoon period, after this period of happiness, there'll be a period of angst. And it will keep you up at night. And you'll start calling psychics. You'll be very worried. I would like to help you avoid that situation. And it's going to be very difficult again because the temptation to move forward with him is probably going to be powerful. And, you know, you might be tempted to think that you might say, oh, Stephen might not know what he's talking about. You know, I'm going to give it a shot. If you do, my feeling is that maybe it might be several months down the road. It might be several weeks or it might be immediate, but it'll be unfortunate. You know, so I wish you well in dealing with this. It's a tricky situation. You have to be very careful. If I were you, I would make, you know, the best way to handle this would be to get him to clear out his old relationship first. That's the only way emotionally where it's going to work out and last. That's the
point. Right.
We want it to last. So he's got to totally clear that out for your sake, because if he doesn't, the specific problem is that there's a danger he can kind of backslide. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I realize that as well. And I'm not the type of woman that even does this type of thing. But like you said, just friends, you know, and it just ended up being something different. And I don't feel like he's happy, but certainly I'm not the one to try to fix that. That was the issue before I even came along. So I don't have that mindset that I'm here to save him, you know, because yes, he has to make that decision.
Well, what would happen is, again, a specific danger is that all of a sudden now he's going to bring that unhappiness into your life. And you're not going to be able to just wash that off, I can promise you. It's going to stick with you, okay? So I would advise you to dodge this guy until he's emotionally kind of all clear. And then you have a green light. No problem.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. I wish you all the best on that, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, we have a caller now from the great state of California for Dr. Nona Marie.
Hello, California. This is my current home state. Who is this? You there,
I'm
California?
Yes, how many Julie?
Oh, I can't quite hear you. Try again.
My name is Julie. Can you hear me now?
Now I can, Julie. How can I help you tonight?
I want to know what you see coming up for my career.
What kind of work are you doing?
Right now, I am doing customer service.
Okay. Are you referring to that career or a different career?
Or just whatever you see, like, in the future.
Okay. Well, I would say it feels to me like customer service is not your forte. It's not a passion of yours. And it does feel to me that there's something for you in, it feels, I want to say technical, something like either billing or working as a manager in an office that does some kind of billing work, et cetera. So, you actually have good management skills, but it feels to me like you don't have a good presentation of those right now in terms of jobs, resume, and interviewing, that it's not well put together for you to present yourself that gets you in the door for interviewing. So it feels to me not until June will there be a change in your career. I'll also say to you, too, that it feels like you'll get one job that will only last about 6 months. It will go south on you. But there will be something coming after that, maybe 6 weeks after that. So don't despair. Don't take that as a bad sign. I think you're going to just have a bump in the road getting going on this. Are you in the middle of education, or have you gotten some training fairly recently?
No, I haven't.
Okay. That does feel to me like that's something that is important for you also. And it's not like you need a college career, but something that shows that you put yourself out there at a seminar or a workshop or a class at a community college or adult education extension service, that is really something very important for you to do in the next, I would say, a few months, if you can do that for yourself, that will also help you to be able to present yourself better for working more in an environment that's dealing with people who are doing some, like I said, some kind of billing rather than direct customer service face to face. And yeah, I think that's all I can tell you about that right now. So as much as you also want to change, one thing I would say to you too also is that your confidence level is not really up to par. And that is something else would be great for you to work on. And one way you can work on that is going to a local community, state or city college. They typically have a career center that is open for free to the community. Those city, state, and community colleges owe services to the community. And very often they will give you coaching on things like interviewing and presenting yourself. I think sometimes you do feel very strongly about how good you are at things, but I think other times you do not. So you waver quite a bit. And that is interfering with your ability to move forward right now as well. So I would say you absolutely need some help and coaching not to try to go forward by yourself with all of this. Okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for calling.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you very much for calling, and thank you, Dr. Nona Marie, for that reading. If you would like a reading from Dr. Nona Marie Foyer, please find her at psychicaccess.com. And to those of you who are still waiting to get onto the line, I do apologize, but we have run out of time. And we ask that you call back next week. We will be here, as always, every Thursday, and we would love to hear from you next week. So sorry we couldn't get to you tonight. Would like to thank Doug C., who works very hard behind the scenes to keep us all on track as our executive producer. Would like to thank all of my co-hosts, very talented and extremely gifted philosophers and psychics. And next week, Steve, I want to say it's your show, isn't it? You have someone for us.
Yes, Stephen, we have Dr. Pam Heath with us, and we'll be speaking about the afterlife.
Always a wonderful, wonderful topic. I can't wait for that. Cannot wait for that. So you heard it right here, folks. Next week we have Dr. Heath speaking on the afterlife. Thank you very much for listening, and we hope you have a wonderful week. Good night.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Psychicaccess.com.